Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Hi, this is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from Booger County in the mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America. And this is the March 19th, 2005 version of Prophecy Keepers Radio, and our honored guest once again, backed by request and public demand and acclaim, is the Reverend Dr. Robert Ghostwolf. How are you tonight?
We're hanging in there, Earth people. we're watching the movie.
Do you think I was going to say the Reverend Dr. Jesse Jackson?
Yeah, well, this is a reverend that does not call Michael Jackson.
Well, the TV stations over in Great Britain, some of them are taking his, or his radio stations, some of them are not playing his music anymore.
Well, there isn't any news anymore. We know this. Everything now is just media stuff, which is basically on, cable has wiped out the news media. So you have a few old fossils that they parade around every once in a while. They used to tell the news. And the story about most of those guys who did all the news, 60 Minutes and all that stuff, and Cronkite, and the whole club, all those guys came out of Stars and Stripes, which was the periodical that they put out during World War II. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Edward R. Murrow, and they were all part of a club. Because I used to, when I was a young, gallivanting, wannabe artist type kid, I lived with the family who owned the New York Times.
Really?
Yeah, the Katzanders. And he had seen some of my work in Europe when I came back here, and then they wanted to sponsor me. Anyway, to make a long story short, these guys used to come to the house every weekend, you know, one or the other. So I got to know all those guys, you know, as a very young man, and the news I see today is, like, totally different. The people are totally different. Everything's about, they're almost like talk show hosts, you know, rather than news hosts. And it's based on personalities and their opinions. And it's a really sad state of affairs. But watching the news these days, it's like watching Caligula in Rome.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, really? What's happening next? And I think that this is part of the malaise that people have, because, you know, we still have certain habits and we still do certain things at certain times. And there are still people that, you know, do the 9 to 5 and they come home and they sit down and they eat and they watch the evening news to see what's going on in the world. So, okay, let's do something clean. Let's do something wholesome. Let's watch sports. What's going on in the sports world? These guys are on this drug. That guy did this. This guy corrupted this. This guy's being arrested for this. It's like, wow, you know? So, okay, the heck with sports. Let's see what's going on the local level. Well, there's been 5 murders today in Albuquerque, 6 bank robberies. And you go, okay, well, the hell with the local news. Let's go to the foreign news. Let's see what's going on in the world. And then all you see is people blowing each other up and shooting each other up. I mean, it's just pretty pathetic, you know. And the crimes, the nature of the crimes. You remember when people used to do wholesome things like rob trains?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. How is it? What are the movies going to be like 30 years from now? Isn't that an interesting projection? Here we are with the King of Pop, Peter Pan. Peter Pan means Twinkie, you know. It's so what happens is that people just, they turn off. They turn off, you know. And then when you go from that and you go to even the subjects on the local, what is it, soap operas? They have them daytime and nighttime now. The very theme of these shows follows the pulse beat of what's going on in the news. So to me, it's like watching Caligula in Rome on the air every day. So it makes, I think, some people who are good people trying to do good things wonder why they're doing it. And, you know, it doesn't stop there. You know, okay, well, the heck with all this stuff. This is all evil. Let's go to the church. So then you go to the section of the news that covers world religion, and I think you're better off in baseball. So
I guess it's time to do the opposite of what they did in the 60s. Instead of tune in, turn on, drop off, it's time to tune out.
Well, you know, that's a funny thought, isn't it? But it's true. Sure, it's,
drop out.
We just want to do the opposite of what we did in the 60s.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, you know, in the 60s, we're trying to, 70s, we're trying to open all the doors, trying to open doors to this, investigate that. And maybe we made a mistake. Maybe too much freedom isn't a good thing.
Well, the pendulum always swings, you know, back and forth. We were raised Republican, but I'll tell you, looking back at it, I'm glad that there's a two-party system, even though George Washington thought that would tear our nation up. But something had to be some kind of balance. There's only, I don't know, it's a tough call. On the home front here, I was telling you before the interview, both our cars are broken down now. One's been broken down for 2-3 months, and the other one's broken down. And anyway, so we live about 100 yards from a convenience store. I'm walking back, you know, with some hot dogs or something, because Betty's been sick and didn't feel like cooking it. And she's going to have, she went through like 2.5 weeks of flu, and then she came up with this real bad pain in her right shoulder. Come to find out, she's got a fatty tumor, a lipoma, on her left shoulder that's causing the pain. And anyway, walking back, and I'm looking up at the sky, and I see strips of clouds. Evenly, it was like jets flew over. That's exactly what happened. Every half or three quarter of a mile, and dumped their load of whatever it is they dump. And as far as the eye could see, these things were running from east to west in a uniform pattern, you know, every half a mile or so in the sky. As far as I could see north, which is 3 or 4 miles, as far as I could see south, which is a good 10 miles, it's just absolutely amazing. Never seen anything like it before. I mean, if it isn't obvious that they're messing with the weather,
Did you try calling the Air Force? Hey, you know, the first thing that they would do is tell you, we don't have any planes up.
Yeah, right.
You know, I remember once I was in Arizona. I have some land up there in the mountains, and I'm in Arizona, and I'm with about 8 people, and we're out in the middle of the wilderness. We figure we would be alone. We'd be, you know, in seclusion and everything. It's about, it's summertime, so it gets dark real late there. But it's about 7:30 at night, and we just gotten through doing a sweat lodge. And we come out of the lodge, and at eye level, there is a Hawk helicopter with a guy with the big bug eyes looking straight into my face, you know.
You're kidding.
And, you know, and what this guy didn't know is that, you know, that I guess he had no way of knowing, was that the group of people I were with, they were seasoned outdoorsmen, okay? And everybody had walkie-talkies, and everybody was armed, and because that's the nature of life out in the wilderness in the West. And so we immediately, one guy called up the National Guard, one guy proceeded to call up the police, and one guy proceeded to call the Air Force. They all denied they had anything up in the air, okay? And so we all sort of looked at each other, and we reconfirmed this. This happens like in a matter of maybe 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and because they're all calling from separate cell phones. Anyway, the Air Force says, no, we don't have anything up there. The police say, no, we don't have anything up there. National Guard goes, no, we don't have anything up there. So I go, okay, then I'm going to order my guys to get rid of the illusion. At that point, they hear all 6 rifles click. Well, did you know that illusion just disappeared? It just vanished. But, you know, I mean, you see this stuff all the time. I remember riding from Spokane, Washington, over to Idaho, because every once in a while you just had to escape out of the state of Washington. And I was going over to Idaho, and there's this strange-looking anomaly on the side of the road about 3 miles back up on the hill, and it's like this huge golf ball, and it's surrounded by an array of antennas, okay? And I'm looking at square clouds. I mean, the clouds look like somebody had just baked cornbread and cut them in slices. You know what I mean? And, you know, and of course, you know, nobody claims anything. As a matter of fact, I just did a radio show the other morning. We were talking about this kind of phenomenon and chemtrails and things like that. Somebody said, you know, but the problem is that we don't have enough aircraft to do this. And I said, you know, about a year ago, I contacted an admiral in the U.S. Navy, who's with U.S. Navy Intelligence, down in Tampa, Florida, because he was the husband of a woman who had come to some of my events and heard me talk about this weird stuff. And she went home. She's talking to her husband, who is giving her very strange-looking eyes, like, who is this fellow she's going to listen to talk? And so I called him up on her bequest. And I started telling him about this stuff, and I got him to the point where he said, I'll look into it, okay? Because I'm telling him, saying, why are these things all over the place? Why are they everywhere? Why are they in New York? Why are they over Atlanta, over Florida, over Texas, over Indiana, over Ohio, over New Mexico, over California? You know, for crying out loud, they're even over Hawaii, okay? And so he started to check, and he said, well, He said, you know, what you said was true. These things are all over the place. He says, but I've only got one problem. If these planes are flying at 30,000 feet, 40,000 feet, and then you got this other little tiny black jet thing that flies at about 20,000 feet, he says, we don't have enough aircraft that big that can fly that high and do that kind of work that could be doing this all at once. And I said, okay. I said, so what does that mean? I said, you're looking at it. You're looking at it because they have those radar programs that show the weather, and they clearly show these round circles emanating out of the weather, and then in other places they show these diagonal patterns going across for, you know, 100 miles. And I said, you're looking at it, I'm looking at it, and you're telling me that you don't have enough planes to do this. Then what does that mean? Does that mean that somebody else is doing it? Or does that mean that somehow they're doing it in between the pages of time? Because if we were free from the constraints of time, then we could be everywhere we wanted to be at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know, I said, I know it's getting a little weird, isn't it? It sounds almost like the Montauk experiment or something. So I left him with a bunch of books to read. He's never called me back.
The general?
The admiral.
Oh, it's an admiral.
Yeah, he was in naval intelligence. They were the ones that tracked all the satellites and sat there in the big computer rooms and did all that stuff.
Space Command is run by...
Yeah, and I wasn't looking for an opinion. I was looking for an explanation, you know. And as close as we could get was he saw what I saw. We both saw what we were both looking at. We both acknowledged to each other that it was there, but there was no way that it could be being done. So, those are the times that we live in. You know, it's like I could be sitting here, and I'm looking at the Doppler radar weather screen, and I'm over on the east side of the mountain range, and they're telling me that it is 49 degrees and partly cloudy. And I open up my window, and I look out my window, and I'm looking at a snowstorm. You know, so, again, these are the times we live in. So why doubt yourself when you see something? Now, don't doubt yourself when you see something. Just keep trying to dig. Keep trying to find out. Sooner or later, they've got to at least admit to us that there's something going on that they don't know. Sooner or later.
Well, you had indicated you wanted to kind of continue to talk about how to cope with the, you know, mentally and physically and spiritually, you know, with the end time changes. And a lot going on. A lot of stuff that...
Well, yeah, I mean, what we're just talking about leaves you to question your own reality, doesn't it? Because if you go to any level of investigation, all you get is official denial. And so you're wondering, oh, well, and then so you shrug it off and you bury it and it didn't happen. You didn't see it, you know. You didn't see all the trees in the Northwest dying the top down. You didn't see all the fish disappearing and turned up on their bellies. You didn't see all the herbs that grew in the lower canopies of the forest disappearing. You know, we keep seeing things, those of us who are still in connection with the outside, and we keep getting told that we're not seeing what we're seeing, you know. And, you know, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, makes a noise like a duck, smells like a duck, it just may be a duck. But we're seeing all of these things, and everyone's telling us, no, 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 no. Then we look at the news, and we're seeing all of these Armageddon scenario, doomsday kind of things going on. Then sometimes people turn on that other guy on the radio, and they listen to the voice of doom tell them that all these things are happening, you know, and it's like, you know, this is wonderful, and I'm glad that the guy's able to live in a cave in the middle of Hawaii someplace and see all this stuff. I don't know how he sees all this stuff from the cave.
You ever moved back from New Zealand? Oh, he's in Maui.
Yeah, he was on Maui for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, this guy's really cool. He's got, like, the magic cave. He's better than Merlin.
I mean, that's, like, one of the worst places to be in the end times. This is right in the Bible.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, let's go sit on top of the volcano.
Yeah, islands are here. Not the place to be, you know, in the end times.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website, with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now, this AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason. But I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them. And that, to me, is the most important thing in a man. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, and I always thought I was a liberal. I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot that we can do to change human behavior. We keep making laws to try and change human behavior. You can't do it. I think you can accept it and feel how you would feel in that position. You're being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you take $20 and give a dollar to every son of a bitch in a room, and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and you're not gonna whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that, the average person will help. But of course now they've got so damn many charities and there's so much professionalism, you know, if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity, and by the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the administrators. So, I mean, Christ, I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ's sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimists. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
So we were told that as these 13 Lords of Light would come into being, they would bring about a cracking of the consciousness that had gotten so thick, where the souls of men had laid down so low in vibration to the point that they almost became as dense as the rocks themselves. And that there would be these great emotional storms. So that's what I started writing my stuff about. What was going to happen to humanity? What was going to happen when we walked into the future, not the days to come, and it was safely off somewhere in the distance, and we could go, you know, on a picnic someplace and forget about it and just go fly fishing? What would we do if we had to walk through the middle of this? What would we do if some of the things that the Hopi elders told us about actually started to happen? What would we do if we actually had to walk through the middle of the dramas of some of the prophecies that Edgar Cayce saw? What would we do and how would we react? What would happen to humanity? What would happen to the children? What would happen as they turned around and they literally looked along, across, and over the field of the panorama of human life, and they saw all the social structures collapsing, the monetary structures collapsing, the religious structures collapsing, the science structures collapsing, the consciousness itself collapsing. What would happen and how would they deal with it? Would it be the end? Would it be an end? Would it be absolute horror? How would people cope with it? What could they do to fortify themselves as we walk into the end of this cycle of self-destruction? And we knew that as we entered the cycle of self-destruction, we would simultaneously be entering the age of the emergence. Now, the emergence can seem to be an innocuous term, sort of nebulous. It's like, well, what are you talking about, the emergence? What the Mayans saw, and I really don't care about the books, folks. I don't care about those guys who ripped my Mayan brothers off and wrote to you about 25 things that they saw at a 2500 and came out with the Encyclopedia of Mayan Knowledge. I'm talking about sitting down over a fire,
talking about prophecies. I'm talking about, well, what did they see? What does the Popol Vuh say? What does the Chilambalam really say? You know, well, who is this guy in a Chilambalam? Who is he talking? How come every time I hear this person talk, I'm hearing the words of Yeshua? I'm hearing the words of the Christ. How come they totally align themselves? How come the things he's talking about are in prophecies are the same things that they talk about in Judeo-Christian philosophy and mythology? How come they're so identical? How come these acts that this person brought, how come they're so parallel? How come, as we hear these things, how come the Mayans were concerned about this emergence where on December 21st, 2012, at dawn, this great occurrence happens? And is it the end of the world? Was Jose correct? Do we just chew on the cyanide pill now? Because all these other guys tell us all this stuff, and it's like going to an amusement park and you go into the horror show, you know. There is no escape. It is the end. God doesn't love you. You know, I don't believe in that Jehovah stuff, okay? Jehovah is an immature, ungracious little God who never took on human form, who does nothing for us. He makes men bow down and eat their own dung. This is not a loving, caring God to me. You know, my God is caring and loving. My God gives birth to butterflies, flowers, and little children. And my God has miracles that happen when we're sitting there and there's no water and there's no food, and all of a sudden you come across a patch in the woods and there's all these berries and different things and duck eggs everywhere. And like, well, how did this happen? Or you're sitting there and everything's a dust bowl and there's no hope, and the Doppler weather is telling us that it's 95 and there'll be no rain for the next 6 weeks. And all of a sudden in this little town somewhere in the middle of Indiana, it rains. So my God makes miracles. My God loves us, and my God always shows us a way. My God only says to me, all I want you to do is to try to believe, to try to live a good life. Beyond that, I want you to taste everything. I want you to explore everything. I want you to laugh, and I want you to play. But I may know a strange God, because when I look around the world, we are now walking through the end times. The Hopi said a year ago now, when they locked up and you and I were talking, and they said, well, nobody goes to Hopiville anymore. It's not that people don't go there. It's that they're not talking. They're getting ready. They're preparing. These are the end times. Folks, we're in the end times. We are seeing now a slow, continuous, steady buildup of events. And the gods, whoever they may be, despite your little opinions, they live in their own realm. The forces of nature and the forces of the universe exist in their own paradigm of reality, and they will have done what they will have done. And the miracle about what's going on right now is we are watching these things going on. We are watching right here in America families becoming homeless and finding out how to try to live in little communities and survive. We're finding people going out to the woods, to the desert, and trying to make little camps so that they can survive and have enough, because they're learning that humanity works on common ground. It works on commonality. It works on I help you, you help me, and together we get the ditch dug for the irrigation in 2 days instead of a month. Humanity works on we all go out and collect firewood, we all go out and collect berries. Humanity works on we all go on the buffalo hunt and we have enough food for the whole winter. We have walked away from that. We have walked away from that on so many levels. We sit there in this pugnacious little egotistical world where we think that I don't need anything. I have the whole earth cataloged. I can get my own generator. I can get my own. 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 Well, what's happening right now is happening in a way that it's not an overwhelming devastating Armageddon kind of catastrophe. We're not looking at the level of cataclysmic events as they could be, and they may very well be. We're looking at things happening in succession. They're becoming more and more frequent. They're becoming bigger and more terrible. I mean, you didn't want to hear about the earthquakes and the ocean causing things and this little tsunami wave. And, you know, just around Christmas time when I was talking to the Hopi and I was talking to my friend Mr. Night Owl out in Hawaii, and he was talking to the kahunas there, and it was around solstice time, and we were talking about what was going to happen with the, you know, that we saw happening in the world. And we all saw this thing with the tsunami happen. We didn't know what we were seeing. We saw massive devastation, buildings collapsing, all just everywhere. And then we woke up the day after Christmas morning, and bingo, there it was. But we didn't want to listen when it happened with just one little wave that hit some beach in Hawaii, or it hit some little town somewhere off in Japan. You know, we live in a world where we look at things through the news, so everything's far away. It's not home, you know. And we didn't want to listen when they told us that around this time the Cascade Range was going to activate. And now, just in the past few weeks, we've seen thousands upon tens of thousands of earthquakes from Vancouver Island and north in Alaska all the way down to Popo in Mexico. So we're seeing the whole chain being activated. We're seeing the entire Pacific Rim being activated. We're seeing massive floods. We just came out of over 8 years of drought in the Southwest. It was so dry that even the snakes were leaving. That's how dry it was.
Wow.
And now we're seeing floods. We're seeing California going from being burned to being washed away. Look at what's happening out there, you know? We were told how many couple of years ago that the animals were going to start to act strangely. I remember Chief Dan saying, yeah, you'll be sitting there, and even the rabbits will come after you and attack you. And now we're seeing all of these things, cougar attacks, bear attacks, wolf attacks, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We're seeing all of these different things. We were told that the animals would start to be born in a mutated form. And I got up on the air and spoke about that with Speaking Wind many times, about the three little demons that were coming, and that one of them would sort of disappear for a while. One of them we would think that we had a hold on and a control over, but it would mutate and become something else. The other one would be devastating, and it would hit us, but we would find a way to fix that. And that when this other one that disappeared came back, we would start to see massive amounts of the microbes and the plankton in the waters die. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing that now. So we're being shown things, but we're being shown things very gently, I think. We're being shown, this is serious, you don't want to listen to me about the beach in Japan, so here's a major tsunami. All right, you didn't want to listen to us when we sent you the messengers and they told you about this, so here's 3,800 earthquakes in Vancouver, and not less than a week later you have St. Helens blow its top. But again, was the devastation total? Was the devastation overwhelming? Did it erase human life? No, there are warnings. There are alarm clocks going off telling us, you got to change the way you're thinking. You got to change the way you're thinking. So I think that opens up a door to what do we do to cope with these times? What do we do to when we see reality changing right before our eyes? When we see relationships coming into being and melting, and you're living a whole life experience in a couple of months, you know, what is going on? What do you deal when you see your children just walk away? But you know, it doesn't matter whether you're an Apache, whether you're a Lakota, whether you're a Mormon, whether you're a Protestant, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Hindu, whether you're a Tibetan, whether you're a Mayan. We're seeing this happen everywhere. So why is it happening? Why are the children leaving? You know, why don't we just slow down a little bit and take a look at what's going on in our own lives and take it right down to the core? And I think at the beginning of the core, to understand what's going on outside of you, the only way you're ever going to deal with what's going on outside of you is by grabbing hold and owning what you are inside of you. You can steer your own ship through many seas, but you cannot necessarily navigate an entire navy.
Time to cleanse the inner vessel, as Jesus would put it, huh?
Time to clean the temple.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
That starts right out with
money
the stuff changers. You put in your mouth.
Money changers, we've got to get them out. He thought that was important enough. Greed. Got to drive greed out. Gandhi said if there were no greed, there'd be no need. So, yeah, and our bodies are in pretty bad shape, too. How interesting.
Well, isn't it funny how the social dictates of, you know, Napoleon Hill wrote the book, Think and Grow Rich.
Uh-huh.
How did this become our Bible? When I look at the people today, that's what they're doing. They're thinking, grow rich, get a bigger car, get a Lexus, get this, get that. They're even trying to make the cars look like each other.
Yeah.
They're making little Hyundais look like little Jaguars.
Yeah, they are.
You know, and they're making this one look like that one. You know, they all look the same. You don't know what you're looking at anymore. There's no, you know, big, beautiful, big fin blue DeSoto convertibles anymore. There's no 57 Chevys or, you know, we don't. And you can get one of these if you're good and you behave and you do everything society tells you to, then you can afford this $600,000 two-bedroom house in San Jose, California. I mean, you know, you can go out and you can buy this $55,000 station wagon. I'm like, wow, my whole life I waited for this, you know. I mean, do you know how many kids I can feed, how many horses I can heal, how many books I can buy for kids, how many I could do with one $55,000 station wagon? And you know what? In 3 years, you got to dump it anyway.
Yeah, what a waste.
You know, in 5 years, it's in the junk heap. You know, you sit there just a few years ago, you went out and got a computer so you could be on the Internet and you could listen to things and do all this stuff, and you paid $5,000 for that. Now you can get them for $3.99 in Dell computers.
$55,000, you can get a 55-acre ranch here in the Ozarks and raise horses or beef cattle or whatever you want to. I mean, this is prime horse country. This is prime milk cattle.
Well, it's just our perceptions have gotten all warped out.
Incredible, yeah.
It's like, when is it going to stop? Where is the end of this? How the hell can they do this? What is it? Okay, so we just raised the national debt to $200 trillion. So what we'll do is we'll raise the price of everything in America by 30%.
Yeah.
We'll make up the deficit.
We knew that was coming when they put $55 billion in last May. We knew inflation was coming last May. I did.
Well, it's called forgetting the golden rule of honoring life for the next seven generations. What we're doing is we're buying our way out now with credit, and we're putting the debt on our children. So that three generations now, these people are so helplessly enslaved to a society because they're born into $1 million debt the minute that they come out of the womb, that there's no way in hell they can ever break away from the imposed enslavement of the society because they're in debt. And people don't realize how the whole national debt thing works. Well, what has this got to do with spirituality? Well, if you understand how you're imprisoned, then you might understand that it's disassembled bars. Okay? And what they do and how they barter the national debt and the interest with the foreign banks is that they turn around and they bargain off the future generation and what that generation will bring in as far as earnings in their lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they barter against it. Okay? I mean, that is literally down to the bottom line what they bought her against it. So what they're saying is, we're going to correct this little fupa that we did in South America with the Bank of America, and we're going to fix this thing that we screwed up in Iraq. And what we'll do is we'll put it on the third generation from now. The people then won't even remember what the hell happened. And besides, they won't be able to, because they'll have to ask permission for everything that they do, because they owe their very life sustenance to us. It's a scary nightmare, but it's the truth. You know, I mean, travel through America and find out. Right now, one of the biggest things going on is refinance your home. Get out of debt. Well, and that's kind of a stupid angle, isn't it? I mean, you know, I mean, you have this house, and now you're going to go out, and it's almost debt-free, so now you're going to get a second mortgage or a third mortgage, and you're going to pay off all your bills that you're paying 21% interest on.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like
dehydrated.
And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond. Put it under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
And then you're going to turn around and you're going to put that all on your back. Now your house, you can never sell it. You can never get out of it. It's not going to happen right now, but it'll happen in the next 5 to 10 years. And then all of a sudden, there you are. You owe us $150,000, $300,000. And then we come in and look at it, and we go, well, you know, your house really isn't worth that. We have this new program now that we can put out. And the thing is, beyond that, where is all this money coming from for these mortgages? I thought we were in debt and we were broke and we didn't have any money. We're worried about paying Social Security. Well, where the money's coming from is the foreign bankers. Foreign bankers are buying up all the real estate.
Yep.
They are buying up the real estate. It is a field day at the Saturday auction.
Oh, the
okay?
Japanese.
You can buy America for 9 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, the Mojave Desert. I mean,
So, you know, and then we sit there, and then, you know, so 10 years from now, they're going to come up to the prophets and go, what's happening? And the only thing that we can say is, well, you did something really stupid. Now, how are we supposed to do it? We can see what's going to happen, but how can we tell you to get out of it? Because you didn't want to listen. And, you know, when you listen to somebody telling you what they see, to the best of their ability, if they were Yeshua himself, they can only see it through Yeshua's eyes. I can't see it through your eyes. I can have empathy. I can feel your emotions. I can look at your life and I can see the way you're walking down the road. And I can tell you what I think may happen. But I can't see it through your eyes. I can't feel it through your emotions. That's one of the miracles of this place. With all the 8 billion people that are running around, we each have our own little individual dream. We each have our own individual, you know, renewal of life. We have our little miracles that make our life work. You know, this is another thing that the media is doing to people. They no longer have individual thought. They no longer value themselves based on what they did. You know, and over here in America, we watch all those great Tom Selleck movies and everything. But that was about a time when a man or a woman went out and they cut their own path. You know, and most of us don't even take the time to be aware of what was life just 100 years ago. How come most of the West, the Wild West, most of the women who were able to do anything were prostitutes? Well,
yeah.
it was the only vocation that they were allowed. They were shunned if they started their own business. They were shunned if they had their own ranch. They were shunned if they did anything on an individual basis. But y'all can be a girl down at the local saloon. That's okay. But don't get too successful. And whatever you do, don't run for politics. And yet today, has the world really changed that much? I wonder. We're seeing things, you know, start to open up. We're seeing women move into positions of power in politics. But my question a lot of times when I look at these women is, do they celebrate their femininity? Do they celebrate their being a woman? Do they celebrate the goddess? Do they celebrate all the wonderful attributes that have made women what women are for the last 30,000 years of life that we can remember on this plane? Or are they bitter and hurt and broken and mean? Okay? I remember I used to see pictures of Margaret Thatcher on the news and I'd run away. I'd get scared.
Yeah.
That was an angry woman. You know, and so... We no longer track our roots being broken, our family ties are being broken. Does this mean it was better in the good old days? No, hell, it doesn't mean it was better in the good old days. People talk to me about the good old days in New Mexico. Well, the good old days in New Mexico, which was, you know, in the 60s and the 70s, you had to sleep down here with a gun by your side, okay? That was good old days in New Mexico. Let's get real, people. You know, but we were allowed to express ideas, you know, which is part of what everybody fought for in the 60s and 70s, was just the right to express ideas. Santa Fe was a mecca and still is today in that it's an unusual anomaly in that every religion in the world is represented here. Every religion in the world. But we're now living in a zone of fear. Fear is everywhere. Wasn't there a song, Paranoia Strikes Deep, In Your Heart It's Going to Creep? And right now, everybody's hiding, everybody's afraid. You say something that's against the norm, you know, and you're subject of investigation of Homeland Security. So, and God help, out here there's a lot of people out in the West that own general stores, convenience stores, things like that, gas stations. And, you know, a lot of those guys wear turbans, hello?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see the fear in their eyes as every customer walks in. They don't know what wacko is going to come in there with a gun, okay, and pull something just because they're Muslim. It's like fear has gotten out of control, okay? I mean, look at this thing that just happened with David Letterman and the kidnapping plot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, give me a break. Do you know where David Letterman lives in Montana? I can tell you where he lives in Montana, because he lives in Choteau, Montana. That's his getaway place, on 4,000 acres, right by the Bob Marshall Wilderness, and part of his land is where we did the ghost dance on. So I'm very familiar where Letterman's hideaway is, and the fact that some guy just goes in there and says, I'm going to take your kid, I'm going to ask you for $5 million. Things are out of whack, people. Things are out of whack when I got to look in the news and I got to see that there are more than one incidence of American parents peddling their kids to pornographers for as little as a carton of cigarettes.
Oh, speaking of which, tomorrow night on America's Most Wanted, they're going to have the story of the kidnapping and the holding for ransom of Chief Charles Gattoli Rogers, chief of the Cherokee Nation of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's good.
Dr. Rogers had a Cherokee medicine practice, quite successful down in Matamoros. And three men came into his office and took him at gunpoint. And so folks might want to watch America's Most Wanted tomorrow night.
Maybe we can arrange this to make the- Maybe we can make arrangements to get that video available for people.
Yeah, and
People got to realize that this stuff is hitting home. It's hitting in their neighborhoods now.
Yeah, yeah, and they didn't cross the border. FBI told them don't cross the border to go to the that a year. Cherokee Nation of Mexico had a yearly gathering. I think the third week of February down in Zaragoza, Coahuila. But I mean, it's like civil war going on down there. It's just nuts down there.
Well, look at the stuff that still goes down in Chiapas that they don't even talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, they still patrol at Mexico into certain villages and wipe everybody out with a machine gun because they went against the political regime of the day. Which answers a question as to, you know, why certain Mayan elders were not allowed up in this country. And they're not allowed up in this country because they spoke out against it and actively participated against it at risk to their own lives.
Doesn't America believe in freedom of speech? Then why do they not let Mayan elders in this country that also believe in freedom of speech? Interesting.
Well, you know, here's the good part about it.
Is that they won't allow him in, or the Sunday Fox will allow him out.
We don't have to live with it forever. We can change it.
Yeah.
But change means, you know, right now change means taking responsibility. It means having a cognizant consciousness when you look at things. You know, this isn't Bambi in the woods, and we're going to have to do certain things. And it's time of the lion and the wolf. It's not the time of the dove. This is not time of the dove at all. It's time of the lion and the wolf. And that's what's going to get humanity through. And the wolf teachers, well, the wolf teachers have been going out there now for a long time. A lot of them are worn down. For some reason, I just keep going. I'm getting to feel like Gus and Lonesome Dove. I will make it to Montana. But, you know, it's like, you know, this June, we're doing, there were so many calls to get together and do something spiritually because nothing was really happening and everything was falling apart and no one was really taking a step and I was getting calls from all over the country and so, I agreed to do a gathering in Montana on the summer solstice called Father Sky, Mother Earth. It's a non-political. It's about spiritual unity, not religious unity. Spiritual unity of souls. It's a gathering of souls. And
so there are a few people out there who don't hate you.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, if there really were as many people out there who didn't like me as they say they do, you know, and my reputation was not as big as Billy the Kid and Geronimo, you know, I wouldn't be able to survive. I mean, you know, you can't hide in the world that I'm in. It's impossible to hide. I'm out in public too much. You know, it's just because I didn't tell you where it was. Well, you know, I got a good press secretary. But this will be in Montana. It's on the Buffalo Ranch. We're going to be helping the Buffalo Ranch there. We got 100 buffalo. It's an absolutely magical place, absolutely magical place. The mountains are made out of quartz. There's quartz crystals everywhere. And the springs are artesian wells that come up from, we believe that the source of the water is probably the all the way up north in the Arctic, okay? Because the water is so pure, it's just incredible. And no, don't worry, Yellowstone's not going to blow up.
Now they're saying it's going to fall in.
You know, there's a whole thing about that area.
Yeah.
And one of the amazing things about that area, if you study the geomancy of the area, is there are 36 natural pyramids made out of quartz that surround that entire area. for a couple hundred miles. They make a complete circle. So I don't have any fears. You know, I don't see this total devastation. I've talked about this with other elders, and I've talked about it with other seers that I give credence to. And there's not this overwhelming devastation thing that's going to happen. The only place that's going to happen is in the minds of men and on the battlefields in the Middle East, because they're creating it. But we're seeing many, many events. We're seeing many, many little volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, you know, what's little, you know, well, you know, anywhere up to a 9, you know.
Yeah.
What's big, anything over a 12, forget about it. You're not even going to be there to report it, okay? But we're seeing these things happen with more frequency. We're seeing disease. We're seeing the hospital systems break down. They're already to the point that they can't handle the people that come in. I'm talking about America. I'm not talking about some starving country in Africa, you know, where they got millions of people laying in some camp. You couldn't even do that in America. If they started persecuting you, where do you hide in America? There is no place to go, man. They won't let you do that. They won't even let you assemble with your family in a public campground anymore in the forest there for more than 3 days, and you got to report in, okay? I mean, Big Brother's here, people. It's here. Where I live, there's 60 miles of wilderness between me and Santa Fe proper. And you used to be able to ride horses and ride your dirt bikes or do whatever you had to do back in there. You cannot do that now. You pull in there, you ride your horses, you're doing what? You get a helicopter visit or a jeep visit. The new rock cops that are out there, they're federal officers now. And God forbid if you're out there and you're doing a ceremony that they don't understand, you know, they immediately call up the White House and say, we got a matter of national security here. These people were actually having fun. but we're seeing it. We're seeing all of it. We're seeing every single part of it unfolding. And, you know, it's like you can go and prepare now while you can walk and do it in grace, or you can wait till the freeways are so filled with people trying to evacuate the cities that you're only going to drive 5 miles an hour anyway. Your car's going to overheat and you're going to have to go on foot the rest of the way. So it's like, you know, at what point do you wake up? At what point do you take responsibility? And what do we do to get through these changes? It starts off with you and me, not him or her or them. It starts off with me and you. In the native way, there's I. But I saw this. I took the journey. I walked many miles. I saw and spoke to Pankashala. It always starts off with I. The basic essence of all purification starts off with I. The cleansing starts with I. Getting into the Grand Master, Yeshua said, time to clean the temples, clean your house. For what hour I come, you will not know. Only the Father in heaven knows. Even the angels do not know. It went something like that. And so it's prepare in constant preparedness, not in paranoia. It's become aware, not out of fear, but out of intelligence. Out of caring. You're going to need to be able to help people. There are going to be people on the move. You're going to be able to have to take people in. You're going to have some sort of stores of food and herbs for health. You're not going to be able to go to hospitals. Walmart is not going to be there. You know, so every day that we wake up, well, don't worry, we're within 30 miles of the Walmart, we're okay. Well, you won't be able to do it. Where does everything from Walmart come from?
China.
Hello. And who's the new big brother on the scene? China. Who's the one moving into the Middle East and saying, we'll protect you against these invaders, these imperialist dogs? Mm-hmm. China.
You got Russia teaming up with China for military exercises now, and they're getting ready to pass a law that says that if Taiwan makes a move to officially become a free country, that they'll go to war.
Right.
That's crazy because, I mean, they...
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like...
But these are crazy times. But the point is that they're doing it. I mean, even good old Hillary Clinton got up and said, I'm really concerned about the military buildup going on in China. You know, well, China's got nothing to lose. They're already overpopulated. Their water is so polluted that they can't reclaim it. Their farmlands are so exhausted that there's not enough food. And if there's not enough food, there's two reasons why cowboys go to town. Three. Food, whiskey, and women.
Yeah.
And they're having a great shortage over China. So, boys, sleep light tonight because they're coming in off the range. There's already thousands and thousands of troops in Mexico, Chinese troops.
Control the Panama Canal.
And there's an enormous amount of Chinese troops just north of the U.S. border over in B.C.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow. But tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better. I feel a lot better and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Especially down in this weird little area in Montana that they call the Yak. A lot of strange stuff goes on there, folks. Strange trains that are 2-3 miles long, filled with Russian and Chinese military vehicles, traveling under the cloak of darkness and arriving in the middle of the Yak in Montana. Well, I guess they're going to use them to herd cows.
Cloak of darkness, now that I was 10 years ago, I was driving about 6 miles south of Moab, Utah, and a Scud missile and its launcher, I mean, green missile with the big red star, went right by me on the back of a semi. Mm-hmm. I live 22 miles south of Moab out in the desert. I'm going, where is that one going? You know, is that going down to that Air Force base in New Mexico that's controlled by the Germans? Or where is it going?
They're teaching the German pilots how to fly and operate under desert conditions.
Is it Kirtland that's completely controlled by the German Air Force? Kirtland Air Force?
Yeah, Hallendorf Air Force Base.
Hallendorf, yeah. Of course, they had to have a German name, yeah.
Of course they had to, Sam.
They
are still the superior Luftwaffe, you know.
They still fly their starfighters.
I mean, who are all of our scientists? Who created the space program? Hello?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It wasn't, you know, Lennon and McCartney.
Operation Paperclip.
You know, who brought all these guys all these big estates on the North Shore and South Shore of Long Island and in Glen Cove and upstate New York and in California and Colorado and who gave them all these companies to work with and who runs the pharmaceutical companies? Hello?
Well, my dad was a... Reese had a research scientist rating with NASA, and one of his biggest idols was Werner von Braun. You know, I mean, Werner von Braun was one of the biggest Nazis.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he shows up in the 50s and 60s building rockets in the United States. How did that happen?
Operation. Who's planning the whole war strategy over the Middle East?
Rumsfeld.
So it's like, you know, the children of these people are now, you know, well integrated into the society. Their corporations are well integrated into the corporate system. You know,
Excel.
So now we're going to open up the wilderness areas of Alaska to get more oil that we won't see for 15 years anyway. You know, it's just watch the footsteps. You just watch the footsteps. And so that leads people to say, well, what do I do, man? I mean, I drive a truck, and I got a little job, and my family's got a little job, and, well, what can I do to change all this? I mean, you know, I can't really do anything. So once again, we become overwhelmed, and we implode, and we crawl back. We go back to the house, and then we wonder what's happening with our relationships, why they're falling apart. We're wondering why the children aren't wanting to be around us. Well, you know, why would you want to be around adults who weren't fun?
Yeah.
Why would you want to be around people who are always in fear? How can you have a relationship when you can't get out of the stress of everyday fear that is now becoming a level where 25 years ago they would have sent you for psychiatric treatment, but you're living through this manic depression every day of your life and you're considered normal?
Yeah.
You know? Why is everybody on, why are they giving kids Ritalin and Prozac and all that other terrible crap that they're giving them, okay? You know, let's get them on drugs early, man, you know. Well, I was a kid in the 70s, you know, it's not always a good idea, you know. So, what do we do? What do we do? Okay, we've just done the doom and gloom thing. That was good, okay?
Hey, we can cut back on our lifestyle, live on a half or two-thirds of our income, and start being smart. Start looking into making some preparations. If you're not making them now, it may already be too late.
We start learning how to share.
That's right.
We start learning how to drop our judgments.
That's right.
We start to learn that I can only do so much with two hands and two legs. I need my neighbor to help me. Look at what's happened to the neighborhoods. When I was a kid, it wasn't that long ago, and when I was a kid, I used to go out at night in the summertime, and you always heard the mothers calling, Johnny, it's time to come home, because everyone was out playing stickball or dodgeball or something in the street, okay? Kids were playing everywhere. You drive through the neighborhoods now, they're empty, man.
Yeah.
Or you drive through and they're empty, you know?
Raised inside on the area.
You know, where are they, you know? And where are the kids? Where are the neighbors? Look at Halloween. You can't even go out and celebrate Halloween. Okay? I mean, you know, everything's about every year, the week before Halloween, they put up all the programs, you know, look out for the razor blades and the broken glass and the acid and everything else and the kids' apples and candy bars.
Not to forget the devil.
You know, so how long do we have to wait, sit there like turtles on a rock, and watch everything unravel, okay? And how are we going to go out and tell people you got to change things without sounding like foolish old bums walking down, you know, the Bowery or some street downtown L.A. telling them that the Lord's going to come and a day of judgment is going to be here? Nobody's going to listen to that.
With sandwich boards,
You know, what they're going to listen to is, today I decided to change my life. Today I decided I'm not going to live in fear. Today I decided I'm going to live the next 90 days for my potentiality and what I am and what I want to do rather than accept all the things that I don't want to do and be all the things I don't want to be. I decided that I'm going to sit here for 7 days and play a game with myself, and for 7 days I'm not just going to scream at my mate or I'm not going to scream at my kids without a good reason. I'm going to stop myself, and I'm going to say, why is this going on? Why am I getting aggravated? Why am I getting so annoyed that I want to go into an attack mode? Excuse me, people, but these are your kids. You know, I never met a kid, and I worked with a lot of young bloods in my life who were the rebels of the universe, but I never met a human being that could withstand passion and a compassion. I also never met a child who would refuse a kind eye. You know, children can tell, little dogs can tell. We are supposed to be the superior species. So why don't we start out? And why don't we start out by ourselves? What's the first thing you do? First thing you do, whoever you believe God is you say, "Hi, I'm going to try to be more like you every day. When I walk down that aisle in the supermarket, instead of grabbing that cabbage and beating that woman over the head because she cut me off, I'm just going to laugh at it and say, aren't people funny?" It's not easy. What I'm saying to do is not easy. What it does is it changes your reaction so that instead of being reactionary, you're coming into a causal existence. You're not charging things.
Some bear would say you're giving yourself the power.
Yeah, it's like, you know, what are they going to take away from you?
Yeah, reach down and pick up that piece of paper.
Yeah, it's a lot of power. It takes a lot of energy to do that. Most of the other guys just walk over it.
Don't empower the litterers.
You know, so, and how can you criticize people for things that you don't take on and do yourself? So it's a matter of grabbing responsibility for your life walk. Right now we're seeing a lot of things. We're seeing a lot of things change in our relationships, yes. We're seeing relationships come and go really quickly. A lot of people feel like, well, you know, I've already lived so many lifetimes in this lifetime, you know. Well, okay. Hey, blow off the dust, pilgrim, because what you're getting the chance to do is you're getting a chance to have a life review while you're here.
Right.
You're getting a chance to change the pathway of your footsteps while you're here, not after you go to the next place. You're getting a chance to do it right now. When these things come up in your face, you're getting a chance to deal with it right now. And what that requires from both sides, because it takes two sides to manifest an experience, what you have to have with both sides is a lot of compassion. It's a lot of compassion, not giving in and, you know, letting people whine and weep and rant all over the place, because it's like it's just allowing somebody to make mistakes because you make mistakes. It's learning how to change our humor. We've developed a type of humor where everything's cutting, everything's a put down, you know. I don't know if it's because of what we're seeing or on TV or the movies or what, but it's like, stop putting the other mate down. Stop putting your other half down. That's your other half, man. I mean, you're going through life together, regardless of what it is. If you decide you're going to separate, well, then separate, but separate with dignity, because you still may have children involved in that relationship. And, man, I remember the night that the two of you got together, and she was the goddess of Olympus, and you were the chief Adonai in the universe, and all this other stuff, and everyone told you, hey, take it easy, slow down. You said, nope, don't have to. I know what's going on. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you jumped into the pool, sucker. Now you got to swim, you know. You got to swim with it. You got to swim with the responsibility of it. And unfortunately, unlike 100 years ago, we don't have the elders to put it through the rites of passage. We don't have that. So what we've got is a lot of adults that are acting like little immature kids.
Yeah.
Because they never went through the rites of passion. You know, you want to lay with that woman. You want to have a child. She wants to have a child with you. You go out and understand what that means. You can't be a wild animal running around now. You got to decide whether or not you're going to join the human race. And that's a big decision. I think even if we go back to that movie Little Big Man, where he's talking to Chief Dan, and Chief Dan goes, well, there never were a lot of human beings, but we knew who each other were.
Yeah.
You know, and we allowed for a lot of things. And, you know, if we look back at those times and those people, they were very compassionate. They didn't judge people because they were one way or another. They were just, okay, he's the guy who sits home and makes blankets of women. That's what he does. You know, he's the guy who goes out and hunts. He's always the guy sitting down talking politics. One day he may be a chief. You know, what did the children do? They'll tell you what they want to do if you allow them to do what they want to do. And it's very hard right now because so many ways of life, so many things that we would go through in a natural progression of living life, the dance of life, that we would become on the way to becoming what we would become, are no longer available to us. it's very hard in a lot of places now to go out and just get a job and be somewhat close to what you want to do. It's very hard right now to want to go out and start a farm or start a ranch because you can't just go out and get 50, 75 cows and pay the mortgage. The only way you're going to do it is if you get 5,000 cows. And then you're going to come out maybe only $20,000 in debt every year. But it's hard. It's hard now. So we have to be compassionate with our children. And our children need a place. They need to come back and feel the parents hold them and say, it's okay. You didn't do something wrong. Because we're too easy to judge and tell everybody how wrong they were and what they did wrong and how they could do it better. And the kid isn't stupid. The kid's looking at you going, well, your life isn't exactly what I call perfect, you know. So it's like, how do you explain to the children that all I am is a big kid, all you are is a little kid. I've got more experience than you, so I can help you get through this. I can take you out and take you on the bear walk and come back and teach you how to trap and do all that kind of stuff, but that doesn't mean that because I've done this for 20 years and I got a reputation that the bear won't kill me one day if I do something stupid. You know, where is the father and son, mother and daughter, parent and child relationship? Where is the children sitting down and talking to the grandparents, hearing about what they did, and looking at them with respect and realizing that they were in their lives great people? That's something that's really, really missing. So that goes back to how do I start me and how do I fix me? You're not going to fix the world. You got to fix you first. And then you got to fix you. It's like baby steps. Then you got to fix you and your relationship with you. Once you start to fix your do people enjoy flying off the handle? Do they enjoy screaming and yelling and ranting and raving? And it's amazing how in life, it is truly amazing how in life, how we think that we have progressed beyond the limitations of our parents, and yet we become our parents in front of our very eyes.
Oh, yeah.
We play out the role because that's what you saw every day, was dad screaming or dad doing this or dad was drinking too much, or dad was disrespectful to mom, or mom always henpecked dad, always put dad down. He was always trying to come up with new ideas, and she kept putting him down, you know, and I kept telling him, listen, leave dad alone, okay? One day he just may come up with a light bulb, you know? We get farther along the road by encouraging each other. That doesn't mean that we allow bad things to happen. It doesn't mean that we allow people to be rude. It does not mean that we allow people to be vicious with their tongues. One careless word can ruin a child's life for the next 30 years of their life, if not their whole life. So it's like the responsibility goes back to self. Do you just let things fly off at the hip? Or do you think about what you're doing before you do it? Do you live your life with purpose? Is each step that you walk deliberate? Or are you just a leaf at the mercy of the wind? Is it always somebody else's fault? And I think that as we start to make these and we have the time, you always have as much time as you need. And you start at a small level. If people started to focus on them, and they started to focus on their family, and they started to focus on their neighborhood, and if the guy has a disaster, you don't sit there and go, yeah, man, the guy lost his whole house in the flood. It was really bad. So we sat here and got a bunch of 12-packs and watched the whole thing for a month. They went crazy. They wound up getting divorced. But nobody ever walked over to the guy and said, hey, man, you know, I figure there's about 40 of us here, and if we all get together and chip in and buy some 2x4s down at Home Depot and do stuff, hell, we could have a new house up for you in about 2 weeks. Remember those days?
Well, I'll tell you what our group's doing. About a year and a half ago, we have 5-6 families here, and we bought a sawmill. And it's a band mill. And then, you know, very slowly, you know, we put the foundation down. You know, it took us several weekends of doing that, working together. I mean, I'm not talking about young people. I'm talking about people that are all over 50 years old.
Wow.
And
so it was a geriatric sawmill.
Yeah, you know. And, you know, slowly over a period of time, you know, one of the landowners had a Had a building, we turned that into a wood shop. We finally got the third wall on. It's enclosed, you know, and you know, we gathered up tools from here and there, and now you know, it's been slow going. It's been frustrating. It took you know, 2-3 years to get to this point. Now we just finished putting in several hundred board feet of logs, you know, so we've got enough mm-hmm. lumber, you know, for two houses
mm-hmm.
and a storehouse, and by fall to have our wood shop up and going and humming and providing they project at least part time jobs for four people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we decided we were going to do something. You know, we planned it starting 5 years ago, put it in motion 3 years ago, you know, put the rubber to the road 2 years ago. Instead of standing around scratching our heads and talking about how we couldn't do it, we're starting to do it.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She is the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals, and you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken tasting garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff, and I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed, it's convenient, stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable, it's convenient, it tastes really good. Taste the peaches, they're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated and freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond. Put it
under
your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself. And his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
There we go.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction and, importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease.
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%. That's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph. Before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells. Yes, indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. And I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Cresson Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists, putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by three U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. There simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes.
The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they are largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time. So the longer you take it, the more protection you will sustain. Missing a dose of Protandim is not a big problem. It takes about 2 weeks for the effects to go away. So if you miss it for 2 weeks, you're pretty much back to where you started from.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Good afternoon. These are on, I presume. I'd like to talk to you today, and do I have control of these slides, or is I do? Okay. Let's get through these really quick, because this is just because you have to get CMEs, and I have to tell you that I am on the Speakers Bureau for GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, and also a nutritional consultant for an HIV nutritional company named Biosource Therapeutics, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. What I'd like to talk to you about is something that I find thoroughly fascinating. It is glutathione. It is one of the four endogenous antioxidants, and it is one that I must admit, despite 80,000 published articles in the English literature, through medical school, internship, residency, fellowship, and a fairly long time in academic medicine, I knew nothing about. It is a very interesting molecule because it exists in an accelerated or increased energy state. The energy state is, or increased energy state, is caused by the fact that it's got a free sulfhydryl group and therefore can easily donate the hydrogen to a electron and therefore quench a free radical. Now, let me tell you, because I think it's important, and it is a little bit of a divergence, but I learned about glutathione because of something that you probably all have seen in your practice, and that is a low uric acid. Now, when I was in medical school and when I was a professor of oncology, the only thing I knew about uric acid is when you had a kid that you were going to treat for leukemia, you put him on allopurinol to keep the uric acid down. I knew nothing about uric acid being low, except it kept appearing, and it appeared in about 20% of my patients, and that just didn't make sense. So I finally went into PubMed, and after stumbling around for a long time, I found out that uric acid is the last antioxidant your body uses when it's run out of everything else. When it's run out of gas, okay, it uses uric acid. Interesting. So if that's the last, the question then, what was the first? And that is where I got into glutathione. I've been coming to some of these meetings for a while, and glutathione is very important for a number of things, not all of which I'm going to go into today. But in point of fact, it has a great deal to do with not only well-being, okay, but aging well, or if you will, retarding the aging process. So I think it's very applicable. I'd like to, at the risk of repeating things that you already know, go over some of the things that glutathione is important about. Alone in the antioxidant world, okay, every other antioxidant, when it becomes oxidized, becomes itself a free radical. Glutathione doesn't. It actually recycles other antioxidants. In fact, the body considers it so important that up to 6% of the entire ATP expenditure or energy expenditure of the body may be used to synthesize and optimize glutathione levels. That's pretty impressive, 6% of the entire energy output of the body. It is also the only non-enzyme antioxidant that doesn't become a free radical, and in fact has a very interesting corollary when it becomes oxidized, because what happens is it complexes to another spent glutathione molecule, and the compound then becomes GSSG, and GSSG has been shown in animal studies at least to promote and induce delta wave sleep. We all know the importance of that in terms of the aging process, so this, even in its used up form, functions as a very useful product. It not only functions as an antioxidant itself, but alone again in the world of antioxidants, it is an absolutely essential component of antioxidant enzymes, namely glutathione peroxidase, and most importantly, the glutathione transferases. And I bring that up because glutathione transferase abnormalities have now been associated with virtually every cancer known to man, and probably with a lot more than that. And therefore, by promoting the production of glutathione transferases through improving glutathione, we may be doing even more than I'm able to talk about right now. In addition, if that were not enough, let's keep going. It's a chelator. In fact, it's 50% as effective as oral chelation in getting rid of mercury. It has an effect on other heavy metals, but they're not as pronounced as mercury, and mercury is pretty ubiquitous in an environment, so it kind of comes as a freebie. And it detoxifies organic pollutants, perhaps the best known one of which is the two-carbon fragment that we know as alcohol. And in fact, without glutathione, you ultimately get a hangover because you stop the process at acetaldehyde, which is phase one detox, and that in itself is a free radical. And obviously, many of us may have felt the effects of that if we didn't have enough glutathione. Now, why is it important in aging? Well, these are old data, and I think they're probably not as robust as they should be, but I'll give you what is available now. Glutathione levels decrease with age. The data would suggest it's 1% a year beginning in the 20s. I think that's too little, too late, but that's only my opinion right now. I haven't proved it. There are some very interesting things, though. Age-matched normals, okay, reveal that anybody at, say, 45 who's had his first heart attack or has asthma or whatever other disease you want to use has a lower glutathione level than somebody of that age who's well. So disease causes decrease in glutathione and an accelerated decrease compared to normals. Glutathione happens to be, and this is perhaps the take-home message, it's the major protector of mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is that DNA within the cells that's responsible, if you will, for the electron transport chain that produces every bit of energy in your body. And we know from pathologic data that if you take a biopsy from a 90-year-old and compare it to a biopsy in a 5-year-old, the mitochondrial DNA in the 90-year-old is only 5% normal compared to the 5-year-old. So obviously we destroy our mitochondrial DNA, we destroy our energy, and we age. Maintenance of normal mitochondrial DNA is directly correlated, and it's got an R value above 9.9, with aging. So the higher your glutathione, the less you age. And I think
it's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
of other times let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper.
Thank you.